He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Best Stocks Now show. It's AMD Tuesday, I guess we'll call it, as they report earnings tonight after the close. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. We have a mixed market here so far, and it's going the opposite way of what has been the norm in 2023. The Dow is up 94 points. Mostly on the strength of Caterpillar, of all stocks. And the Dow is at 35,653 as it continues to break out. The NASDAQ, on the other hand, down 67. A little bit of weakness here and there. Nothing really standing out. Some of the travel stocks down a little bit. The NASDAQ's at 14,270 with some big earnings reports on tap after the close today. S&P down 6, that's 13 basis points. The small caps also down 0.75%. Crude oil taking a break finally here today. It's down 52 cents, but it's at $81.28. Gold, which had a big day yesterday, closed at 2006 yesterday. It's down $25 today at 1984 on fear of the Fed, I'm going to say. Why do I say that? Because interest rates, the 10-year is up 7 basis points. I think some of these reports are coming in a little too hot for the market's taste, and that renews fear of the Fed. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show. Welcome to August. Welcome to, what is it, AMD, I know, for one, and then there's another big one.
Yeah, AMD this evening. Oh, don't we get Amazon and Apple later this week, or is that early next week?
Yeah, Amazon is on Thursday, Apple's on Thursday, so I guess AMD is the big one here. Starbucks, okay, Caterpillar's already reported, Uber's already reported. So, yeah, we'll call it AMD Tuesday.
Yeah, for our semiconductor portfolios and for, you know, likely, you know, just filling in more of the blanks of that AI story, right? I think, you know, certainly think AMD's earnings are important because the call will be interesting to see, you know, what their take is on a go-forward basis with AI.
Yeah, and it'd also be interesting to see if they're seeing the same thing that Intel is seeing. Last week, Intel said, hey, we're seeing a rebound in the PC. Well, there's no bigger maker of chips for the PC market than AMD, so it will be interesting. I would expect for them to also have a good report like Intel did last week. If Intel had a good report, you would think AMD would have a really good report.
Yeah,
but we'll see.
That thought process would have worked really well over the last 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, that's just logic. Now, maybe on the other hand, maybe Intel is taking away market share from AMD. I haven't heard that. But we'll see. Well, the market started off okay yesterday. The Dow was up 100. It continues to break out to 52-week highs. It's breaking through that resistance level. This happened about 2 or 3 weeks ago. It was in a long, long sideways trend since last August of last year, and now you've got it in a pretty good uptrend. As we're looking towards a better second half of the year as it relates to earnings, overall earnings, than the first half of the year. The NASDAQ was pretty quiet yesterday, but the software stocks, for whatever reason, the software stocks had a really good day. I observed several with some really nice charts yesterday.
Well, of course, you got earnings. You know, they've had some good earnings already, and then we've got some of the big players still ahead in terms of AMD and NVIDIA.
Yeah, and you had some upgrades yesterday. Adobe got an upgrade, and that really sent it higher. The chart of the day for me was HubSpot, HUBS, which we own in our ultra growth. We only own 18, 19 stocks in our ultra growth portfolio. Hubs is one of them, and it just broke out again yesterday with the vengeance. And today in that same portfolio, another one of our holdings is having a phenomenal day when, in Arista Networks, A-N-E-T. It's pretty much the stock of the day today. It was up 15% last time I looked. And then also yesterday, the oil stocks, okay? EOG, Halliburton, Conoco, Chevron, Devon Energy, Schlumberger, that was the hot spot in the market yesterday. Now, today, Pfizer has reported. We'll get to that in a moment.
Yeah, those drug stocks, those are kind of some of the most paltry earnings we've seen in a while.
Well, they call it the COVID cliff.
Yeah, I guess so.
Pfizer was riding high. I mean, they wanted COVID to last a lot longer than it did, I would imagine, because they made a lot of money, a ton of money off of COVID. And we had, remember that guy that secretly recorded a Pfizer exec, you know, saying this is really good for business and all
right.
this kind of stuff.
That's...
We'd like to see this thing continue. Well, now, Pfizer got as high as $61 per share, and Pfizer's now $37 per share. But it is up today, 1.7%. We're also going to get earnings, we already got them from tobacco giant Altria, Philip Morris, Vinny Vidi Vici, that's what it says on a pack of Marlboro cigarettes. I know that because my father used to paint Marlboro billboards. And I remember seeing that verbiage there on Three Cheers for Philip Morris. And then tonight, AMD, Starbucks, Merck. We already got Merck, Caterpillar, Uber, Prudential, Sirius Satellite, Norwegian Cruise Lines, SolarEdge, JetBlue, Marriott. A lot of these are in already, and we'll get to that here in a bit.
Yeah,
tomorrow,
Starbucks and AMD are but the two big ones, I think, after
the
bell. Yeah.
And tomorrow the big one will be Shopify, Qualcomm, PayPal, a few others. Then Thursday's really the big day this week with Amazon and Apple, the two big A's. That used to be a part of FANG. I don't know if FANG exists anymore with all these companies changing their names.
Yeah, you just say FANG. You still know what they're talking about, but none of the letters are even the same anymore.
Yeah, we always have to bring up some of the bad stuff out there. The European economy is troubling to me. Germany's manufacturing PMI drops to 38.8, the steepest decline since the pandemic. And this is now about four or five reports in a row coming from Europe, which is what, the third biggest economy in the world?
And I think when they used to, I think when the UK used to be thrown into the Eurozone, it was obviously the largest, even, you know, as a economic zone. But yeah, I mean, it's you use the S word a few days ago in terms of stagflation for Europe, and you know, they've been kind of teetering on the verge of that. I don't know how they've really kind of avoided it a bit. And you know, the whole gas situation, you know, they got lucky, whatever you want to call it, right last year in terms of not using as much gas and maybe those costs not being as much as, you know, were forecast. But, you know, who knows, right? Every winter is different. So,
yes. Okay. So that's a disturbing story. This is a disturbing story. Meta plans the launch of AI bots with different personas in attempt to retain users. In other words, if you're looking for somebody to carry on a conversation, you know, last week we were talking about how they had lost half of their people that signed up
for threads.
So now they're going to plan a launch of artificial intelligence, AI-powered chatbots. Okay, a chatbot is somebody that responds to you, and they're
maybe
going
they
to have
a different person.
So you can find one you like, you get along with, you know, maybe the chemistry is there, right? An attempt to bolster engagement with its social media platform.
Well, and I've seen this and talked about in travel, I guess. I mean, where, you know, okay, do I want to talk, you know, if I'm going to, you know, Costa Rica or whatever, right? Do I talk to the, you know, bird watching scientist bot, right? Or the, you know, surfer, surfer bot, right? In terms of two different style trips, right? So it'll be, you know, it's one of these, it'll be interesting how, you know, a lot of this stuff plays out. But yeah, I saw that story today.
You know, we're just not, we're moving to a 2D world instead of a 3D world.
Right.
3D is engaging with real people on a regular basis. And I mean, this started several years ago with, you know, the younger generation just totally glued to their devices. And now, I mean, they're friends and whatnot. Where, this is not a good, I don't like it. That's all I can say. When we come back, we'll talk about this big move in crude oil recently. This is the Best Stocks Now show. Here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show on this first day of August. And we do have still a split market with the Dow up, NASDAQ down. Oil has been a big winner so far in the second half of this year. U.S. crude, biggest monthly rise since January of 2022. That was coming kind of out of COVID a little bit. Goldman hikes their demand outlook. Three-month highs yesterday, you know, we're up from $62 to $82. That may also have something to do with all of a sudden interest rates headed up. Is that going to show up in the inflation numbers? And will the Fed still have another 25 basis point hike left in them when they see these crude? But anyways, I've been watching it in the individual stocks, which have been responding quite nicely. And then, of course, you've had a lot of earnings coming in from the oil companies. Goldman analysts estimate global oil demand rose to an all-time high. Okay, on the one hand, we're trying to cut our use of fossil fuels. We're trying to cut carbon emissions. And yet the demand for oil has now reached an all-time high, 102.8 million barrels a day in July. And they anticipate solid demand going forward into the second half and into next year. So, I mean, it seems to be a pretty bullish outlook.
Well, and I mean, a lot of the inflation that's come down, right, has been, you know, on the energy side. So that is, you know, kind of when you're talking about your positives and negatives camp, right? The, you know, the price of oil going up is negative from an inflationary standpoint. And I saw some input costs. I think if you look at some of the Caterpillar numbers in terms of on a go-forward basis, they were, you know, a bit worried about some input costs going forward, which, you know, that ties that translates into the, you know, PPI, of course, you know, potentially having a rise on a go forward basis. So yeah, that's kind of in the on the side of the of you know, rates remaining high for longer, right? Of course, you got the JOLTS report and some other things today that PMI numbers that kind of show the opposite direction. So
yep, exactly. Well, we've been talking about all these macro outlooks out there. Everybody's got a target price, and the consensus is it's moving pretty close to 5,000 now for the next
4,900, right? Wouldn't that be a record?
Yeah, and the thing I like about Oppenheimer's report, or don't like about it, is they provide their math, which isn't in line with my math. This must be the new math that they're teaching. Oppenheimer raised its year-end S&P 500 target on Tuesday to 4,900, okay? So that's by the year-end. That's 5 months from now. Seeing it going to 4,900, we're at about 4,550 right now. Their previous target price was 4,400. So I guess they kind of adjusted every 6 months. They came out that with that back in December, the 4,400. Well, we're there, and then some. So it only makes sense to revisit your target price, which they did, and they raised it to 4,900. Okay, now, the math involved is a little bit eye-opening to me. They had estimates for this year of $230 per share for the S&P 500. The consensus is down around 220, and it has been for a long time. So they were way ahead of the consensus. So they're lowering their earnings per share projection from 230 to 220, and then they're raising their target price. So the only way you can do that is to really fatten up that multiple in the middle there.
Yeah.
Between the target price and earnings, and I looked at the target, the multiple they're using on 220. Well, you can do the math yourself. What's 4,900 divided by 220? That works out to a multiple of about 22.5, which doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, what, even in, because you follow this weekly, if not daily, but the, but PE would get up as high as, roughly 23, 24 in, virtually a 0% interest rate environment, right?
Now
we're before the cycle.
Way above that.
Right.
And you've got the 10-year average at about 18.5. I don't know how you justify. I mean, even you look at the multiple today, it's at about 19.5, okay? To me, that's stretched.
And how many cuts would they have to get to that quickly, right, to get to, say, a 22.25 multiple?
And that's
right,
by the end of the year.
We don't see
any cuts by the end of the year unless they figure that the market's going to be looking ahead. I just don't see – I think you're going to trade more in the 18 to 19 range for quite some time. I mean,
It doesn't mean they'll be wrong. It just their math to get there is seems a bit skewed. Yeah, whenever.
But I'm glad they at least put their formula out there, and that's how they justified their 4,900 target price. Okay, you see all the commercials for Shark Ninja and all these different blenders. I mean, there's a gadget
for everything.
I think I own them all. Well, not all of them, but I definitely have an Instant Pot, which I love. And I've definitely got an air fryer, which I love, okay. But I'm not really into all these rotisseries and all this kind. And I definitely watched Emeril do his pasta thing, making homemade pasta. That I got it. I have one. It's been sitting in a big box for about a year. But, in a pinch, you can make spaghetti noodles, lasagna noodles. Well, Shark Ninja's going public. I think they went public yesterday. SN. Let's see if it's out there. Yep. There's another IPO. It opened at 30, and by the end of the day, it was 55. Oh, man. That is a sign of a little bit of a helium overheated air fryer, instant pot, high pressure.
Down 10% at the moment, down 10% today.
Now it's getting whacked today. It's down to 37, but intraday yesterday it got to 54. That's where the selling came in. Now people
call now. Call now and we'll give you 10% off. But,
people in on that IPO, a lot of them are locked in. They can't sell for 90 days or whatever. But some of that hot money got out when it went up that high. Lowe's and Petco. Okay, you know what? This is a challenge here to the pet stores. Lowe's is going to have a pet department, and they're teaming up with Petco, a company I know well. Because it's San Diego based,
Petco Park, right?
It's the home. It's where the pets go. If that's not the worst, little Petco Park, where the pets go.
Yeah, right.
It depends on the year. Sometimes, they stink a little more than other years. But we're hanging in there. But anyways, Lowe's is getting into a new business. They're going to have a pet department, which only makes sense. I think people are looking more and more for a one-stop shop like Walmart. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. The story for me so far today is the sell-off in the bond market that is taking place, which I think some of these companies that are reporting are talking about robust demand and strong demand, words like that, which paint the picture of still kind of an economy that needs to be cooled off a little bit with higher interest rates. I don't know, but that's... something's causing a sell-off here in the bond market today. You've got the 10-year up 8 basis points. That's a big move. This would be a good day to look for some bonds. I had one on my list today to look at. 4.04 is where the 10-year is right now. Okay, for me, the stock of the day is one of our holdings in our ultra growth portfolio, Arista Networks, which really picked up the torch many years ago from Cisco. As Cisco's flame continued to go out and they, you know, became a 3 to 4% growth company. Arista's been growing by 20%, but their last 4 quarters has been phenomenal. Arista provides cloud networking software and hardware, in other words, routers, etc., for internet, cloud, and next-generation data centers. Arista came in with earnings that were 46% higher than the same comparable quarter last year and 39% higher in sales than the same quarter last year. Now, listen to their last 4 quarters of earnings growth. And you'll see, you know, the stocks that we buy have a tendency to stand out against the rest. For the last 4 quarters, Arista's earnings have been up 69%, 72%, 70%, and 46%. It's still
stock prices follow earnings, right?
Yep, it's still one of the top growth stocks in the market. And over the last 4 quarters, the sales have risen by 57% year over year, 55%, 54%, and 39%. And before today's big move, I want to say Arista still met our valuation criteria. I've been surprised by how kind of overlooked it's. Yeah, this is as of yesterday. It had 94.3% upside over the next 5 years, which supports what I've been saying. Overall, the NASDAQ, the S&P, the Dow are trading at rich multiples. There's a lot of stocks out there that are trading with a lot of helium in them right now, very rich because of the big moves they've made. But then again, it's a stock-by-stock thing. And there's still stocks like Arista Networks out there, 94% upside potential. That was in the app as of yesterday. And Arista is up $26 per share. I saw that last night. Just as I was packing up and closing shop for the day, I saw Arista Networks earnings come in, and I saw the stock just blowing up in the after hours. Well, it picked up this morning where it left off last night, and it's really taking off. 7 times normal volume. It's up 17.2%. One of the few winners in the NASDAQ today, but it's always good to have one like that. In that ultra growth portfolio, we currently own just 17 stocks. And I bought a new one yesterday, 18 stocks actually. I bought a new one yesterday We sold one and we replaced it. Well, we'll see how that new one, that new entry in there. But that portfolio has done very well. That's the portfolio that Seeking Alpha had me create when I started my subscription service on Seeking Alpha. It's the same portfolio in the newsletter. And while it underperformed the market last year because it tends to be higher PE growth stocks like Arista, this year it's just sizzling. With 17 stocks currently in that portfolio.
And started the year with a little bit of cash, so from a risk-adjusted basis, even didn't take as
much. But we were buying in January, beginning of January. We bought Apple. We bought AMD. We bought ASM Lithography. We bought HubSpot, NVIDIA, some of the biggest winners in the market. This year. So if you're not getting the newsletter and watching that ultra growth portfolio and look how it's done over the last since we started it back in January of 2019, you get 2 free weeks of the newsletter and see these portfolios by going to GundersonCapital.com. Okay, now let's see what else we got. Pfizer reports a 54% contraction in Q2 sales amid COVID cliff. All right. Well, it couldn't happen to a nicer company. Of course, they came up with, you know, the so-called vaccine, Pfizer. It's at $36 a share. It's up 1% today. Not a stock I'd have a lot of interest in.
Already tackling, and we had written about, written about them even pre-COVID, and they had, you know, a lot of those companies have been facing patent cliffs, and you know, kind of COVID kind of kept some of them going in terms of you know, where it wasn't noticeable in terms of other blockbuster drugs that have dropped off their, you know, off the into the generic world, right, during that right around that same time. So
yes, and I'm going to call the second biggest winner of the day behind Applied Network or Arista Networks. We don't own this one, but man, look at the chart on Caterpillar. Wow.
Yeah, and that thing's been all over the place. At one point this morning, I think it was down about 4% or when some of the numbers came out early. So it was almost that initially it was a kind of a beat but not a raise quarter. And they were actually, I think, talking about some potential you know, future revenue, you know, lowering forward guidance. So it's, I have to dive back into those numbers, but yeah, it's taking off now.
I smell a correlation here between, this is an industrial, this
is
a
7.7%. That's a huge move.
Look at
for
that
Caterpillar
on 9x normal volume. So when you see an industrial, I mean, this is a cyclical that represents the underlying economy. It's one of the bellwethers, and
it's
I
an
think
all-time
that's
high.
Yeah, I think that's why you're seeing the sell-off in the bond market today, saying, wow, if Caterpillar's business is this good, and they're in a lot of stuff. They're in construction. They're in mining, diesel, natural gas engines, turbines, locomotives. Man, that is some kind of a day
that chart
for Caterpillar today. And I think that has something to do with, wow, people going, this economy is a little too hot. The Fed's got to be reading Caterpillar's report. And that's why you're seeing the sell-off in the bond market and an 8-point basis point rise in interest rates today. Uber, on the other hand, they had a good report, but I think maybe that it had already been baked into the cake, because now Uber is down 5.4%. But initially, it had a good rally. Their bookings came in strong. Gross bookings rose 16% to $33.6 billion. That's a lot of rides.
Isn't it?
When's the last time you saw a taxi cab?
Right.
It's been a while. I don't know that yellow taxi cabs, maybe in New York City.
Yeah, they're still in New York City, yeah. Other than that, yeah, I don't see them near as much.
But that was definitely a disruptive company. It was a disruptor that disrupted an entire industry, kind of a shady industry, you know, the taxi and how much they had to pay for those medallions and this kind of thing and territory and turf wars and all that kind of stuff. But here's, you know, here's two words that I see in his conference call: robust demand. So when you've got people, I mean, you can't have a struggling economy if you've got robust demand for Ubers. That means people are traveling. That means people are spending money and
away from home.
Yeah, yeah, and add into that Caterpillar's huge spike here today. And you've got a sell-off in the bond market going, uh-oh, the Fed, next meeting, I guess it's in August. You'll have to look that up for me. I'm not sure when their next meeting.
No,
do they ever take a month off, those people?
Yeah, I don't think there's one in August. I think the way the 6 or 8 week gap works out, that I'll have the date in a minute. I know it's in September.
Yeah, okay.
But then we're going to get essentially, since our last meeting, we're going to get, you know, basically get two CPI reports, I believe, and a couple of monthly job reports before they meet again.
Oh, okay. So we'll have plenty of data. Okay, here was the note, the bond I was looking at, but, you know, it's 5.45%. I'm getting a little greedy here. That's not quite enough, but that's on a home builder, which I do like. The home builders, Invitation Homes, invite you to buy a senior note, and they'll pay you 5.5% a year for the next 10 years. You can lock that in for 5.5%. You know, I want a little more than that. We'll be right back.
You got to go where you want to go. Do what you want to go.
Here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show, where we await AMD and Starbucks tonight after the close. And then on Thursday, it's going to be Amazon and Apple. The biggest winner in the market today. Let's see why. I can't really figure this out. Managing company, Chronic. Adamas Pharmaceuticals up 253%, 253%. That's your biggest winner. A lot of times these small biotechs, sometimes it's because they got funding to, you know, work another year, have money to make the payroll for another year. Sometimes it's because they have some good news on a early stage candidate. I can't really find the news there, but that's the biggest winner. The second biggest winner in the market today is American Superconductor. I've watched that thing over the years. It's having a day today. It is
name sounds
42%.
Powerful.
AMSC. Sounds like a superhero. American Superconductor to the rescue.
Sounds like a stock to own with that name, right?
Yep. American AMSC. Okay, now as we look at the Dow. And that, well, the third biggest winner in the market is Arista Networks, which we're proud enough to own here today. Caterpillar is the biggest. It is the Dow today. Whatever you see the Dow doing, if the Dow is up, if it ends up, you can thank Caterpillar because it's up seven. Caterpillar itself is up 7.4%. The only other company really up in the Dow is Cisco, and it's probably riding the coattails of Arista Networks. Cisco's up 1%. On the downside, the oil stocks are taking a break today. You're seeing some profit taking. Exxon's down 1.3. One of them reported. BP. BP reported. BP's down 1%, just a little bit. Chevron's down 1.2% in the Dow. Verizon down 1.4%. So you finally have a little cooling off. Well, oil's down 70 cents. It's been going up like every day for the last month or so. I'm not quite sure what's up there. It must be demand. That's all I can say. Demand for oil. Record demand, according to Goldman Sachs, during the month of July. The highest ever amount of crude oil used in July.
Wow.
That's got to upset a lot of, you know, the UN chief recently said, we've gone from global warming to global boiling. That's his words. QQQ AMD is the winner there. I guess ANET's not in the QQQ. AMD's up 1.9%. I meant now it's up 2.5. I would anticipate a good report. You never know. I mean, a lot, 90 days is choppy, right? I mean, you could have lost a big, you could have not closed a big deal. You could have had a glitch somewhere. But I'm just using Intel as my guide. And Intel had a super report on Friday saying that the PC market was picking up. And AMD is heavily involved in that PC market. They will report after the close. AMD, it is up 2.6. That's the biggest gainer right now in the QQQ. And then you've got Broadcom having a pretty good day. AVGO up 1.4. Cisco up 1%. On the downside in the QQQ, I'm going to call the weakest spot in the market today the travel, leisure. And the tone was set there by NCLH, Norwegian Cruise Lines. Norwegian Cruise Lines is down 15.7% today. And that's affecting a lot of the travel and leisure stocks. It's impacting Carnival, which is down 6.8.
Those cruise names have been volatile, haven't they?
They've been red hot. I mean,
yeah, right.
Coming out of COVID, and I saw one of them trying to float some more bonds, which they did all throughout COVID. I mean, they've floated so many shares. They floated more shares than ships, that's for sure. You know, I mean, they were asking 10.5%, seeing if there were any takers on their bonds. So, I mean, that just indicates that they're still not out of the woods because they had three big losing years where they were bleeding cash, and the only way to make up for that gap was to either sell shares, dilute their shares, or float more debt.
Or sell ships. Remember, they sold one to some Saudi prince or something.
Yeah,
either them or Carnival. One of them did.
Yeah, Saudi prince bought an entire. Right. Well, you know, he's got friends that come over on the weekend and they need something to do. And their debt level, Norwegian Cruise Line's debt level is off the charts. I show. Investors Daily shows 999% debt, which obviously it could be 4,027 because that's as high as the number goes. And let's see what Carnival's debt level is. 452%. Woo! Okay. And then Royal Caribbean's debt level. And they're floating more debt, by the way. Royal Caribbean is 743%. So what do these companies float on? Debt.
Yeah, and
tons
time.
Of it.
Apparently, you need as much time as possible to get that cash flow back to pay those things off.
Oh man, wow. Woo! Someday, you know, you would think there would be a few that they say, you know what, we can't make the payments this quarter. Well, anyways, and God forbid there's another, some kind of a pandemic going around. All right, so that's it pretty much. The leisure stocks, travel leisure, a big shot over the bow from Norwegian Cruise Lines. That's the travel leisure side. And then on the other side, you've got Caterpillar just blowing out of the water and this Arista network. So if you'd like to get in touch with us, have a portfolio review, put together a financial plan, planning to fail. Failing to plan is planning to fail, they used to say. You can call us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Put us to work for you. Check out the newsletter, see how the portfolios are doing this year. GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. Get 2 free weeks, and we'll be watching these earnings that are coming in tonight, AMD and Starbucks, and we'll be reporting on those tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.